This recording, Tennessee 6, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Karma, Karma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, I grew up in Ridgetop, Tennessee. It's a little village, I'd call it. Maybe more like a little hamlet about 20 miles north of Nashville. Ridgetop was up on a sort of a plateau, and the air was nice and crisp and clean up there. And have a lot of fond childhood memories, but one that I guess I'll never forget was a time when we lived in a house and there was a dirt road beside our house, and there was a family that lived further down this road, and they were really poor people. And there was a fellow there, his name was Julian. I guess Julian was one of the sons of Mrs. Adams. He had a brother, Slim Adams, and Julian lived in a little short trailer house, like a little mini camper thing. It was a tiny little thing, and he cooked and heated by wood fire and wood stove. And Julian would take me possum hunting in the woods at night. He had an old dog. I think the dog's name was, he called him Shep. It was just an old cur dog. And I was at the age about the time when I was experimenting with smoking cigarettes. So I'd use the excuse for Julian to take me hunting in the woods to go out and smoke cigarettes at night. So one night I decided I want to get out. And this was before I had a car. I was probably 14 years old or so. And I went down to Julian's place, and it was dark, and I walked down that long dirt road and got to Julian's house. And I said, Julian, take me, let's go possum hunting. He said, no, it's not a good night. The moon's not right. We wouldn't do any good. And I said, well, we could go anyway. So I finally talked him into going, and he called the dog and got the dog there. And I said, where's your gun? He said, well, I'm telling you, we're not going to do any good tonight, so I'm not even going to take the gun. So we left, and we went way out in the woods, deep down in the woods, and heard the dog start barking in about 10 minutes. And he said, well, that dog's got something treed down here. So we walked and walked through the woods. It was pitch black. I mean, just terribly dark, quiet, and all you could hear were our own footsteps kind of crunching through the leaves and the branches of the woods. And this was in the fall, but it was a warm night. So he had the flashlight with him, and he's shining the flashlight around, and we could hear the dog barking. And by the sound of the dog, we kind of homed in on where the dog was. When we got to this tree, and the dog was right under the tree looking straight up and just yelling his little head off, you know, shine that flashlight up. And sure enough, up in that tree was just a big fat possum. Now, the tree wasn't but about maybe 6 inches in diameter. It wasn't real tall, and the leaves had already fallen off this tree because it was fall. But there were still a lot of other trees that had leaves on them. So Julian said, well, boy, that sure is a nice possum. I hate to let that thing get away. And I said, well, I told you to bring the gun. And he said, well, I tell you what. I said, you stay here, and you make noise, and that possum won't come down, and I'll go back and get the gun. And I said, okay. So he had the flashlight, and he left, and I could see and hear him walking off in the distance, and the light got fainter and dimmer, you know, and finally got out of sight. And when he was gone and the light was gone, it got really black in those woods. And if you've ever been in the woods late at night, it gets kind of scary with all the sounds and things that start coming back to life after you've quieted down for a little while. So I was there, and of course the dog, then knowing that we had found the possum, the dog left and ran off somewhere else. So it was just me there under that tree with that possum. And in about 10 or 15 minutes, but it seemed like about an hour and a half, I could hear these sounds in the woods, and it sounded like something walking. I thought that may be a bobcat or a bear or something. So I started getting a little scared. So I climbed up in that tree to get off the ground, and I could climb up a 6-inch tree pretty good at that age. And I got up in there and got on a couple of the lower limbs and just kind of sat there and wrapped my arm around the tree in one of the limbs and just hung on. And after a little while, I could hear the noise of Julian coming back around the hillside, and I could see the light flashing a little bit, you know, and knew he was getting close. And he started calling to me, where are you? And I'd say, here I am. And he kept coming closer, and then I could see the actual beam of the light. So he got a little closer. Where are you? I said, right here. And he was shining the light all around on the ground. He said, where? I can't see. I said, right here, right here. And he kept shining, but he didn't see me. And I said, up here. And then he started laughing. He said, up where? And he shined the light up, and there I was in that tree with that possum. So when he shined the light up over my head, I looked up, and that possum was about 2 feet over my head. I mean, just right, I could reach up and touch the possum. So he said, well, if I'd known you could climb that tree like that, I wouldn't have gone back for that gun. I just had you bring the possum down. And I said, you're crazy. I'm not going to bring this possum down. He said, no, all you got to do is just grab him by the tail and tug a little bit. And possums just, they kind of go into what we call playing possum. They get scared. And he called it sulling. So I said, no. He said, really, I don't want to shoot that possum. Just grab him by the tail and tug a little bit, and you can just literally pull him right down the tree. So I got real bold, and I did. I reached up, and I grabbed him by the tail, and that possum curled that old rat tail around my hand. And I tugged a little bit and started pulling down, following Julian's instructions. The possum was just kind of holding onto the tree, and he started sort of backing down. And I got down and started climbing down the tree, pulling this possum down the tree. So when I got low enough, Julian came over, then he reached up and he grabbed the possum and grabbed it by the tail and shook it real hard, and the possum played dead. We walked out of the woods, and he was carrying that possum by the tail upside down, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. So when we got back, I said, what are you going to do with it? He said, well, I'm going to cook this thing tomorrow. So he had an old garbage can that looked like about a 50-gallon metal can or something, and he took the top off, and he put that possum down in there and slammed that top down on that can. And I went on home, and the next day I saw him, and I said, Julian, did you cook that possum? He said, it sure was good. I'll save some for you. And I said, I might can pull one out of a tree, but I'm never going to eat one. So that was my experience with Julian Adams and the possum.